This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
It's New Year's Eve. 2026 kicks off with the Oregon Ducks and Texas Tech Red Raiders. The home of Amber and Ian is KMTT Vancouver, KRSK HD2 Portland, 910 ESPN Portland, and Odyssey Sports Station. This is the Tullamore Dew Orange Bowl preview show with Andy Dirt Johnson, Anthony Newman, and Jason Sukanik. Brought to you by Tullamore Dew. When it's tailgate time, it's Tully time on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, The Fan.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Welcome in. Happy Oregon Duck Game Day Eve. Andy Dirt Johnson, Anthony Newman, Suk hanging out with you for the next 3 hours. Just three local high school football legends chopping it up, talking some football this afternoon.
I love that.
What's going on, boys? How was the holidays?
Good.
Should I brought yeah, bring in like my like a, what is that, like a little All-State plaque or whatever?
Yeah, we should have brought our All-State placards in, man.
Put those up.
I didn't have All-State. I had All-League at least, though. You know, I got a cool prizes back in the day. You know, I was All-League. Come on now. I think we got to turn Anthony up a little bit. Can we do that? We got to do live on-air producing.
Well, yeah, what's going on?
I don't know. It's not you. It's on Jeff Rust.
You guys got me plugged in.
Hey, there we go.
There
we go.
Hey,
there you go. Are we good now? I think we're good.
We're set up.
Hey, so we're going to have a lot of fun over the next 3 hours. They asked us, hey, do you want to come in and do a something tomorrow morning? It's like, no, the game starts at 9 a.m. That doesn't sound like too much fun on New Year's Day. Nobody's gonna be up at 5 o'clock in the morning tomorrow. What the hell's happening? So let's talk some football for the next 3 hours. Everybody have a good holiday, though? You guys doing good?
Doing great. Yeah? Gain some weight, you know?
That's the main key of the holidays.
Gain some weight.
Gain a little bit of weight. Got some sweets in you.
I believe that from the December 23rd to, like, January 3rd, nothing matters. Nothing counts.
No.
It does not matter whether it's Monday or Tuesday or Friday. Days don't count.
No.
Calories don't count.
No.
No one does anything productive. It's just this weird general malaise where everything kind of blends into one, and you're like, you know, you want to start drinking in the morning. No one can judge you.
Nobody's going to say anything.
You want to eat breakfast for dinner, dinner for breakfast. No one can judge you. You know, you don't want to shower for 3-4 days. No one can judge you. Wow. It's just, it's the upside down. It all blends. Okay. We're doing a pregame show brought to you by Tullamore Dew, for God's sake.
Where's the Tullamore Dew? Nobody brought any in. That's the only thing we're missing here today.
Yeah, that's true.
That would have sweetened the thing up a little bit over the next 3 hours. I was laughing. I was driving around the other day listening, and you had a great point about when that week after Christmas. Does anybody know what day it is?
No. I have no idea. Like, I don't know what day it is right now.
Christmas ends, and then I know it's the day after Christmas, and I'm like, is it a Tuesday? Is it a Wednesday? I don't know.
You're right. I'm just lost.
What is today? Is today Wednesday?
It's just a stranger than
I think it's a Wednesday.
You go into the. See, that's my point. Like, you're not kidding. You're not 100%.
I don't know.
Right,
I think it's a Wednesday.
Gun your head. You're taking a guess, but you're not going 10 toes down.
So you're asking yourself, do I eat breakfast, or do I eat lunch, or do I eat dinner? What do you eat? It doesn't matter,
right? Doesn't matter.
No.
I eat snacks.
There's no rules.
I can eat snacks at 8 o'clock in the morning.
All day. All day, baby.
And, like, my kids are home. So my daughter lives in Korea, so I don't get to see her very often. So she came home, and then my son came home from college. I'm not kidding. I think my kids are going to bed on average, because she's still on Korean time. Right. They're going to bed at like 3:30, like every night. And then you get drug into deep water. And so then, like, you throw in some sleep deprivation in there. I don't even mean to. Like, I'll be going to bed. The other night, I was like, they started a fire in the fireplace. And it was like maybe midnight. And I was like,
midnight fire, huh?
Yeah, midnight fire. Because, like, they're just getting started. So I did the old, the missus, the BTJ was like, well, we're going to bed. And I was like, hold on, I'm going to go say goodnight to everybody. I looked out at my watch, 1:45.
1:45.
And I was like, And so then I stumbled up to bed at like,
2 o'clock.
Sure, 2:30. And my gal's still awake and is mad. I'm like, why do you come back down? She's like, you said you were coming up. I'm like, at what point did you realize I had crossed that threshold? And you asked where the Tullamore Dew was. Yeah. It was in my glass.
It was right there.
At about 2 a.m, you look down and, like, I only judge time based on the bottle.
That's it.
You should go 4 fingers at a time. So by the time I get to like 12 fingers, I'm like, ooh.
Okay,
ooh.
I should probably go to bed now.
That's when you pull an aha video to bed. You just kind of bumper bowl your way up the stairs.
Irish goodbye. Where did he go? I don't know. I think he went upstairs.
Climbing to bed.
It's like my different life.
Different life, you know. You're not doing that, Anthony? That wasn't your week last week? No. No Tullamore Dew for you in the last week?
No, I was getting up at 7, going to the gym. I'm just kidding.
You're getting ready to run that West Lynn program, man. When's off-season workout start?
That's what I've been dealing with.
Yeah.
I think I figured it out. I'm running a business now as a head coach.
Yeah.
Like, wait, what am I doing?
Yeah.
I want to do X's and O's.
You got a lot more responsibilities now.
I want to talk about our 3-4.
Yeah.
I can't think about
that. Oh, that's out the window
now. I got to talk to parents. I got to talk to the booster board.
Or raise money. I got to go shake hands.
Yeah. Are we buying helmets? What? How many helmets do we
Now, the kind of the question I got is, are we going to be more of a Dan Lanning or a Chip Kelly? Because Chip Kelly was a guy who didn't care about any of that stuff. He just said, hey, I'm going to coach football. The rest will take care of itself. Lanning seems like he's gotten a different route, and he's been much better at that.
I am all about Dan Lanning.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to mimic what they're doing.
There you go.
So you're going to be a psycho.
I need the pregame speech videos.
I have my coaching staff to be the psychos. I get to be calm now. I used to be the psycho one.
Keep everybody easy.
John Eagle. But now I need to stay calm. Cool and collected.
Yeah, because under Lanny, what do we got? Being sick is a choice.
Sick
being
is a
cold
choice.
Is a choice.
Yes.
Being wet is a choice.
Yes.
Being sleep. Also, we found out this week that sleep is a choice as well.
So, yeah, you don't need to sleep. Who needs to sleep?
Tosh LeBoy said there's no such thing as being tired. So I'm like, I like that everything's a choice.
Yeah.
Pick and choose where you want to go, man.
For me, being hungover is a choice. You get up and you power through it.
We're here, man. Yeah. We're here, baby.
I will say sometimes I wake up because I have a dog that wakes up no matter what. Like, we go on a walk every morning. So no matter what my evening look like, I have like
you gotta go.
Well, I have like a 150-pound dog.
The dog controls you.
Yeah, he'll just stand on you.
The dog controls you.
Yeah, like if you don't wake up, those two paws, the bear paws, get on your chest, and you're like, you're up. So there are times, like it'll be like 7:45, and I've had like maybe 3-4 hours sleep, and I'll go for a walk, and I take him up to the high school because I can let him off leash, and he can just run around. And I will say that there are times where I see the coaching staff and like players like rolling
showing
in the morning,
up for morning workouts,
and I realize that we are on two very, very different paths.
I'm gonna go home, get a workout in.
For me, being hungover is a choice that today Jeff makes that tomorrow Jeff has to answer for.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh.
Hey, there you go. That's a good way to put it.
For future Sook. Yeah. I'll tell you what.
I'll worry about that tomorrow.
Yeah, future Sook's great. I just dump everything on him. I pass the buck.
Yeah.
He'll handle all that.
Passing the buck.
Well, we got a lot to get to. This could be fun over the next 3 hours. I've been sick for like a month, so I'm excited to come in and hopefully not get you guys sick. You know, going to the new year. You know, congratulations. It's that time of year.
Being sick's a choice again.
Hey, Dan Lanning. told me there's no excuses, right? Play like a champion. That's what we're going to do today, baby.
I feel a little like I don't have any organ gear, though.
I mean, you're
like,
left out.
You guys have like nine pieces of organ gear
on. Come on now. Suit missed the memo, baby. We don't got any organ polos for you over there?
I'll tell you what. I don't own a single piece. Well, that's not true. That's not true. I have a pair of Josh Wilcox team issued.
There you go.
Russell. Oregon Duck sweatpants.
Russell.
Yes, before Nike.
Yes.
Yes.
Ooh, that, now, did you guys have Russell too when you played?
Yeah, we did. We had everything.
Yeah.
Champion, Russell.
Champion, yeah.
No, yes,
was FUBU in there at any point?
Nike, we had
whoever wanted to make it the cheapest.
Yes.
Yeah. So, no, but no, it wasn't a Nike so-called school year.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
That's the only piece of, and my gal went to Oregon, and she always gives me crap, but that's, all I have is one pair of, like, and they're just, like, falling apart. There's no elastic left in them.
Yeah.
I use them when I'm, like, painting the house.
Sure, you need something to throw on.
Yeah, but Wilcox, like, because we had those at BYU. We had the Russell sweats, and I love those. And I think I wore them in one morning for something like this. We had, like, a special show we were doing. And I wore them in, and Wilcox was like, oh, my God.
You still have them?
And I was like, yeah, dude, they're, like, my favorite things. They're falling apart. And so the next time I saw him, he brought these in, and he was like, boom. That's my one piece. And I didn't think that those – I didn't think, or otherwise I would have broke them out. Probably the ones Newman would have been like, yes.
Yes. Let's go.
I had a pair of those very similar. My brother and sister-in-law went to Oregon. She played lacrosse at Oregon, so she was in the athletic dorms and all that kind of stuff. They were right around the time, I'll never forget, my brother was over at the athletic dorms one night, and she was down there doing laundry. Went down, and one of the football players left a pair of team-issued sweatpants in the dryer, and he snapped it, because, you know, why would you not? I got some team-issued gear here. And those lasted in our family for about 15 years. We had a pair of Patrick Chung sweatpants.
Oh, no.
It was just, I mean, they were massive. They were way too big. They didn't fit me, but I wore them all the time because they, you know, Oregon football
Pete
equipment.
Chung.
I was like, hey, he went on to have a great NFL career.
Yes,
I tell
did.
That story. He's a Pete Chung sweatpants. No big deal.
Well, I marvel now, like, when you see everything that the stuff that people get, because we were a quote Nike school, but all our stuff was Wilson.
Yeah.
And so they just took a rudimentary Oregon patch or a Nike patch, and they would sew it over the Wilson logo. So our pants, like, were Wilson, and then just a crudely stitched, kind of off-colored Nike logo that they would stitch over the Wilson patch. I'm like, it wasn't until, like, my third year where we actually got Nike
actual things. Nike gear.
Yeah, our stuff was a blend of, like, Russell, Wilson.
What are we doing here, man?
But patched over with Nike.
You got to make the sponsors happy.
And we would get, like, one, this is a hand to God true story. Like, I'd get a jock. Because I was a center, so I always wanted to wear, you know, you had to kind of keep everything.
You got
to
hold it all together.
So I'd go up to the equipment window. Mick was our guy. And I'm like, Mick, like, I ripped my jock. Can I get a new one? He's like, I'm going to need to see that old one. I'm like, what?
I'm not giving you a new
one.
What,
am I hoarding jock straps?
No.
He would, if you had something that had gotten ripped, you had to take it to the equipment window, show him that your glove or your jock or something was ripped.
Here's the evidence
There's
of it.
There's a hole in my shoe. Can I please get another one? And then he'd be like,
That's true. You're right about that.
A little bit different nowadays.
It's a little bit different
now. It's a tad different now with the gear that you get.
Right. Life
changed a little bit.
Kids today don't know how good they got it. One, they're getting paid, and two, free jocks and as many pairs of shorts.
Whenever you want them, baby.
It was a little different back then.
Now, let me ask you guys this, because you guys played in a past era of college football where things were a little bit different, and the bowl season is totally different now too, right?
Yes.
Like, you know, a lot of guys don't play, and it just the whole format of it has changed. But I always love hearing stories from bowl games, and then added on top of that, the swag bags that would come with it. Because you would get stuff, right? You go to a bowl game, they give you like a little basket or a duffel bag. Do you remember the coolest swag bag thing you ever got?
I never went to a bowl game.
You never went to a bowl game?
Andy, remember? I never. Don't you remember? I used to cry about this.
What about the Japan game?
No, well, yeah, okay.
Did that count? Was that technically
kind of, that was preseason. But we got some. It was called the Mirage Bowl, something like that.
Going over playing
going
in Japan.
To Japan. but that was, come on.
They didn't give you anything cool for that?
No. I wanted to play in a bowl game so bad. And then, you know, my senior year, Stanford and us had the same record, and they picked Stanford over us because they thought Stanford traveled better than us. From a fan,
because they wanted people there to buy tickets.
They wanted people there, and it was down. I think it was the Independence Bowl.
Okay,
way down south,
down in Louisiana or Mississippi, certainly more.
But I wanted one of those bags because kids were talking about there's watches. There's we didn't have cell phones at the time, but there was something good stuff in there that you wanted. I never got one.
You never got a swag bag. You never, come on, man.
And then you never got to be part of the prestigious AXA Equitable Liberty Bowl.
Yeah, see? Now we're talking.
Oh, Two-time participant.
Two-time Liberty Bowl participant.
Equitable Liberty Bowl. Thank you very much.
What came in the Liberty Bowl swag bag?
Nothing.
Well,
you get a bad watch that you would give to your dad. Right, yeah. That was always like, you know, like here's
your Christmas. You're taking care of shopping right there.
And then we got a sweatsuit. You got a sweatsuit with some crappy logo on it. And then they would give you one. There was always like one thing that was supposed to be the big thing. And it would either be like I think we got a DVD player at one point, a single slot DVD player. And let me tell you.
How do you get that thing back? That's a big box back in the
day. At the time, people were like, oh my God, a DVD player. Like, whoa. Not Blu-ray or anything, just
normal DVD.
And by the way, not like a Sony, Sonoy?
Yeah, one of the knockoff
whatever
brands.
The knockoff brand of
Hisense?
DVD. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hisense.
And people like, that was my Liberty Bowl gift, and I was like, check this baby
Now we're
out.
Living large, baby.
Yeah, I never went to a good bowl game, but yeah,
Two trips down to Liberty Bowl.
Down to Liberty Bowl, and then to Troy, Michigan. For the sponsor got pulled, so it was just the Motor City Bowl.
Oh.
So, this was another good one about getting stitched over. So, it had a sponsor, and somehow the sponsor, I don't think they paid their bills or whatever, and it was too late to cancel anything, so we went to the Motor City Bowl, and I forget, it might have been like it was some sort of car company. And so in all the stuff, they just stitched over the sponsor.
Because the funding drop. We're not putting you on our sweatsuit.
So just kind of they blacked out whatever the sponsor was, and then it just said Motor City Bowl. And that was in Detroit, but they put us in Troy, Michigan over Christmas. And I'm not certain if you've been to Detroit.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
In Christmas.
Oh, yes.
Not necessarily the best place to be.
Not the place where you want to spend your holidays?
We just went to Canada. Yeah. And
all right,
I can't,
kids, roll up the windows.
Yeah. I can't tell you what happens in Canada, but when you're like 19
you're having
and you
fun
go
in
to Canada,
Canada,
there's a lot of things that are available in Canada that are not.
Did you win your bowl games?
No.
None of them?
0-3?
0-3.
0-3. Okay.
Fun fact, I am responsible for 3 undefeated seasons. Every team that we beat or that we lost to was undefeated. We lost to Chad Pennington and the Thundering Herd.
Yes.
They went undefeated.
Yeah.
Sean King and the Tulane Green Wave, undefeated.
Wow.
And one of the Louisville quarterbacks that I don't remember off the top, it might have been Dave Ragone.
Mm.
One of the Louisville quarterbacks that went on, I think he's a coach somewhere. So, yes, I have lost. I am the cornerstone, capstone
You're
of
welcome.
3 undefeated.
Do they send you a thank you card every year? They should. Here's your undefeated season.
The best thing is years later, I was in with the Buccaneers with Sean King, who was really good. Sean played for a bunch of years in the NFL, super good guy.
Oh, yeah.
And when I found out, when I was like, oh, yeah, I was on the team that played you, he started laughing. And we're BYU, so we had white corners. Yeah. You don't want white corners.
Yeah.
This isn't Iowa. It's not Iowa.
No Cooper DeJeans on that team?
No. Oh, we had white corners.
Yeah, and that's so, bunch of guys out there getting toast.
So they had Sean goes, they had an audible that when one of the backup white corners came in and played in the slot.
They're throwing his way.
Yeah.
The audible
they call it
was
vanilla.
The audible was toast.
Toast.
Because it was toast and white bread.
Yeah.
Because they were about to burn it.
Yeah, they're going
deep. Like, toast, white bread. And that was whoever was in the slot just ran a go. We got the white corner.
Safety's
got to
be going, oh, God, here it comes again.
Go.
Here comes a shot over the top.
I started crying all those years.
That's a good one.
White bread.
That's a good one.
Couple of guys here that play for John Gruden, and we're going to talk a lot of football over the next 3 hours, man. It's going to be fun. Let's start diving into the matchup, should we? We got Oregon, Texas Tech tomorrow, 9 a.m. right here on the Fan Sports Network. Can't wait, man. I want to start. We'll get into like the offensive and defensive side of things of kind of what we make of the matchup and what we make of Texas Tech. I want to take let's start with like a 30,000 foot view of just kind of what this game means for Oregon, for Lanning, where he's at year 4, looking for one of those big postseason wins, because they're not going to get a lot of credit for the JMU game. So let's just start there. What would a win or a loss mean tomorrow for Oregon? We'll start diving into the Orange Bowl. That's coming up next on 105.1 FM, The Fam.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to.
Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
This is the Tullamore Dew Orange Bowl preview show on the Fan Sports Network. 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Special three-hour show to end the year. We're the only ones in the building. Great way to end the year. Talking some ball, editor Johnson Suk, Anthony Newman. Hanging out with you. We'll get to all the other bowl games. There's one on tonight, so that's kind of fun. We get a little New Year's Eve game.
That's right.
Miami-Ohio State tonight.
A good one. Yes.
Thoughts on that matchup? I did want to start with you guys on just kind of what this game, what it means. Like, what does a win tomorrow mean and what does a loss tomorrow mean? I'm kind of the opinion of, like, you go back to what we were talking about in August about this team, five returning starters, one on offense, an unproven starting quarterback, where are they going to go? And then you go through the roller coaster of early in the year, oh, my God, this might be the best team in the country, to the Indiana game and the Wisconsin game. Ah, all right, you survive Iowa, and then you got this tough November schedule that you survive. I kind of view this game as the breaking point of the season one way or the other in terms of house money isn't the right phrasing because whenever you're in the Final Four and you've never won it, you never want to waste those opportunities.
Yeah.
But I feel like the game tomorrow is the one we will view of if they win it, man, what a year for Dan Lanning. No matter what happens after that, anything more on top of that, you know, icing on the cake, obviously. And a loss, you're left kind of looking in the mirror again of saying, man, great year, all this talent, and you got to the same round of the playoffs last year. Now, you won one, but it was against JMU, and they had no business being in the playoff. And I think you're just going to be left with that off-season taste in your mouth again of wondering, what is it going to take to get over the hump? I'm just curious, Anthony, for you, which is what a win means tomorrow and what a loss means tomorrow.
Well, from a fan standpoint, it means everything. Because as a fan, you're tired of the Ducks getting close.
Yeah.
You want them to win a national championship. They've been in there twice. They've been close a couple of times. Come on, let's get closer and closer, and let's get in that game and win that game, and you know, Texas Tech is in the way, so we gotta win this football game. Yeah. It's this or bust. For my next player, it's one more game. All right, we won. Let's go next one. Let's get it done. We still have a ways to go.
Yeah,
you know, and it's, you treat it like the season. You know, you're still playing. We got games after this game. If we lose. No, we're not talking about if we lose. We're talking about let's win this game let's go to the next one.
Yeah.
So from a player standpoint, that's how I'm looking at it. But from a fan standpoint, let's win the whole damn thing. We get so freaking close. I'm tired of messing around.
I know, man.
So, you know, I know I'm wearing two hats.
Yeah.
But
I got a little taste of that West Lynn pregame speech right there. I got a little fiery. I'm ready to go, coach. What do you need me to do?
Brandon Lewis run through that.
Although,
wall.
I don't know if you want this white corner out there. They might be calling toast if I'm out there playing defense.
I got you deep.
You're
deep. You're playing deep.
I want nothing more than a West Lynn audible to be white bread.
White bread next year is going to happen.
Trust me. It's coming.
Taking that back.
Come to our game. It's coming.
Warms my heart.
Do you view it that way, Suk, of like successful year or failure is not the right word either, but you get what I'm
saying. I'm a little different because you guys obviously are both tied to the program.
Sure.
And I kind of tend to a 30,000 foot view. I'm a neutral observer. I don't think this is a great Oregon team. I think this is a very good Oregon team. I think it's the most talented Oregon team top to bottom because they keep stacking recruiting classes.
Yeah.
I thought going into the year, this was a year off. Now, if Dante Moore leaves, things change because now you have the most important position. But to me, when I look at your best players, they're all underclassmen. So I think over the next 2 or 3 years, this will be the best version of this. So I thought going into this year, I thought this was a playoff team, but I did not think it was a national title team. So to me, losing in this game, I think this is about where I thought they would be at the start of the season. What has changed for me is I don't think there's an elite team. And I think Texas Tech is a one-dimensional team, and we can get into it. I like Texas Tech.
Yeah.
But I'm a film study guy, and I think Texas Tech does one thing really, really well. And I think they do a lot of things very average. So to lose to what I think is a one-dimensional team would be disappointing. And I think there's an opportunity here, even though this isn't, I think, the final version of what Oregon will be. I think if you were to bring Dante Moore back and you get Amari Washington to stick around, Sadiq's going to leave. But you know what? Barry Alexander already said he's going to come back.
Yeah.
Poncho's coming back.
Yep.
We've already proven in the portal that you can go find some O-line talent.
That's true.
So I think if Dante Moore comes back, next year to me is a much better version of this team.
Correct.
But there is an opportunity here. And I think to me, losing against Texas Tech, even though going into the season, that's what I kind of thought. I thought this was kind of the ceiling of where this team was. I think there's an opportunity here. So I would be disappointed if I'm an Oregon fan and you get nicked here. Especially, I think the two best teams in the country are on the other side of the bracket. This sets out really well for you. I think there's an Indiana team on the other side that they run a very complex defense, and I think they confused you. I think getting to see that a second time for Dante Moore, I think there's a much better version of Oregon that could play against that. Mm. And that's why I said there's a real opportunity here, but you got to get by Texas Tech. So is it the end of the world? No, because again, I think better days are coming, and I think it's an inevitability. All my Husky fans, all my Coug fans, they all get mad at me for saying that. But this doesn't feel like TCU or when Washington kind of had a run. This has been a slow build. This reminds me more of what Clemson did, right? This reminded me more of when Kirby Smart was at Georgia and you were knocking on the door. I think it's an inevitability if you keep recruiting and hitting the portal like this, especially in the NIL world. So disappointing, yes. Failure, no.
Yeah,
because I don't,
too strong of a
word. I just don't think it's one of those. If you lose, it sets the program back. Look around the country at the portal losses and what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
You're one of probably 11 teams that haven't had to deal with that, and it doesn't look like you're going to have to. You are so well positioned that even if you lose this, disappointing, yes. Failure, that's probably a word that I'm not going to go down, but it will start the question of, why can't you get
the big
over
one
the
and
why
yeah.
can't
well,
you win the
yeah.
You are right. This team, at the beginning of the season, I didn't think this team was this good, to be honest, because they lost a lot from last year, correct?
Set a new program record for NFL draft picks for a second straight year.
Exactly right. So you're thinking, no, they're not going to go far. I mean, they're going to, you know, they may get 9-10 wins. I'm not sure. They are better than we thought.
Yeah.
I didn't know the two freshman running backs were going to be dudes who are real dudes. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that the freshman receiver was going to be a real dude.
Yeah.
And they're relying on their freshmen to help them out. So you're right. Next year, this team should be loaded.
Yeah.
You know, they lose a couple of guys, but not like they lost a lot of guys the year before. So, and if Dante comes back with this crew on offense.
Look out.
Oh, please.
Evan Stewart was talking this week, too, and he said that's, I mean, he hasn't decided yet.
Sounds
he said
like
I could go,
back.
But he wants to come back. And the big thing for him is Dante coming back because he wants to play for him.
If Dante Moore comes back and you have another, you hit the portal, you're going to have to replace a couple of linemen. Both your tackles are going to go.
Yeah.
But can I be honest? Neither one of your tackles has been amazing. They've been good. I think Harkey's been better than World. I think World, and I'm not trying to be critical of anyone, but we were told that he was the next great.
From a physicality standpoint, it felt like he had the metrics and the measurements.
And Poncho have been.
He looks like Tarzan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think you can, they have proven that they can go into the portal and they can find linemen.
Yeah.
So I think if you manage to replace your two tackles, and by the way, you've got a couple young tackles that have been forced to come in and play, mm-hmm. and they've done a nice job.
Yes, they have.
So you may not even have to hit the portal for guys that can play immediately. So I think if you solidify the offensive line and Moore comes back, yes, you lose Sadiq. I think you have another tight end on your roster
that's
going to be an NFL tight end.
That's right.
I think your two best backs, again, are both true freshmen.
That's right.
I think if Evan Stewart decides to come back, right. All of a sudden you look at that receiving core, and if you bring Dante Moore back, who I do believe if he goes out will be the number one pick, and again, I'm not a duck honk. I just take it from a very objective point of view. Yeah. I think if he comes out and you go through the evaluation, he will go before Mendoza. Mendoza probably has a higher floor,
yeah.
but the higher ceiling is Dante Moore.
That's right.
And so if Dante Moore comes back and is going to be the projected number one pick and you put it with that offense, then that's the one where I look in the preseason
boomer
and say,
bus and say, let's
it's,
go.
It's boomer bust. There's an opportunity. So that's just kind of how I view this whole thing. But I'm telling you, watching Texas Tech, Oregon is better than Texas Tech, with the exception of a front seven.
Right.
So that's, to me, that's the only thing. If you lose to Texas Tech, I think it's because you got overwhelmed by a front seven. And that would be disappointing to me that a more talented team lost to simply a front seven. And that can happen. The New England Patriots are sitting around right now lamenting the fact that the greatest season in NFL history was undone by what? Not even a front seven. They were undone by a front four.
Yeah.
Their five couldn't block their four. And I think if Oregon loses this game, they're going to sit there and be like, I can't believe we lost to a front seven. Yeah.
Well, I would add, too, like, I think your points on TCU and Washington are valid, too. I would say that's the way Oregon years have passed felt, right?
Yes.
Like, when you made the title game in 2010, it was out of nowhere. Yeah. Nobody saw it coming. You're like,
true.
Where the hell? And then in the offseason, your quarterback gets resting. He's off the team. You got to bring a new guy. I mean, just the whole thing, you know, falls apart from then on out.
Well, you see it where, like, with Washington is a great example. In that Washington that year, you know, you can view that as an upset with Oregon and Washington. Yes, from a depth standpoint, you could say Oregon was better than Washington. From a top-level talent, no, Washington was better.
Yeah.
Penix was as good as Bo Nix, if not better, at least in college.
Yeah. Yeah,
their
receivers
were way better. They had two NFL tackles.
It did. Yes.
They had NFL guys in the defense. And that was a group that all came together
for
and it
one
just for one run. Yeah. And it popped, right? Three NFL receivers, an NFL quarterback, an NFL running back, two NFL tackles. It all just came together. Washington hasn't seen that before for 15 years since the Tuiasa Sopo days, and they haven't seen it since, and maybe they will, but that was that. This isn't that.
Yeah.
Like I said, most of the players that I would say are going to be big-time NFL players, they're not even eligible for the draft.
That's right.
So this has a different feel to it for me, and I don't think it's really an argument that can be made against that. This isn't like a special group that is just all happened to be here at one point. In fact, I think this is just maybe a little bit of, this was supposed to be a bit of an oven cook.
Right.
And it got microwaved
slow
a little bit.
Slow cooking thing, and then it went a little bit faster than everybody thought.
It blew up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you're built to last. That's the exciting part about where the program is at. I'm already thinking, I always love seeing the you know, tweets and memes and stuff before the year starts of like, I can't wait to let 18 to 22-year-olds dictate my mood.
Yeah.
How I'm going to feel. I'm already thinking about myself tomorrow. I'm like, man, if they win that game, the rest of my day is delightful. Yeah. You're watching Alabama, Indiana of like, all right, who are we going to play? Your feet are up on the couch.
Yeah.
Today, and you lose, you got two more games. You're like, I don't even know if I want to watch these games, man. My season's over.
Exactly
this is stupid.
Right.
I don't want to be a part of this
exactly
anymore.
Right.
So a lot on the line tomorrow, man. I can't wait. 9 a.m. is the start. Let's get into that front seven, that front four for Texas Tech. Because that, when you look at them, that's the one thing that jumps off the page. And also, how do we, it's hard to evaluate a team who didn't really play anybody in non-conference. Like they play, who was their hardest non-conference game this year? Was it Oregon State?
Yeah, it was Arkansas, Pine Bluff.
It was nothing, right?
Kent State in there. And
Oregon, then a bunch of Big 12 teams. And so you know a lot about BYU. Yeah. So I want to ask you about those games because you saw them twice. And let's get into that front seven and front four that Texas Tech's bringing to the table. How does Oregon handle that? We'll start breaking down the matchup. That's coming up next on the Fan Sports Network.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Bye.
This is the Tullamore Dew Orange Bowl preview show on the Fan Sports Network. 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. It's the Orange Bowl preview show brought to you by Tullamore Dew. When it's tailgate time, it's Tully time. Look at that. The show is so special, we got our own sponsor for it, baby. The only thing we're missing is a little more Tullamore Dew in the studio. That's right.
That's my fault for
that. It'll be
Tully
time when I get home. How about that?
Sorry, boys.
We'll get some Tully for New Year's Eve tonight. We got a lot to break down over the next couple hours. I want to start. I mean, when you look at Texas Tech, there's one thing that jumps off the page. We all know the reason they're here, the reason they're in the playoff, where they spent the majority of their NIL budget in the offseason. They went after big dudes up front, and they got the best linebacker in the entire sport. And that combines to make maybe the best front seven in all of college football. We'll have to wait and see, because I think that's the interesting part of the question that I have going in is, I know they're talented. I know they're incredibly good, but they're also a stat profile that is built off of Big 12 opponents. And that's I wanted to start with you, Sue, because you saw your BYU Cougars play these guys twice.
I saw them
in the regular season and then in the Big 12 title game.
I watched them play Utah. I watched them play Arizona State.
Yeah.
And that, and then one other one that I went back, because when I have a little service where you can watch compressed games, it's nice. You can watch them in about 25 minutes, get rid of all the stuff. And I ended up watching some of the Kansas State game, and what was the other one? I ended up watching Houston.
Okay.
So I've watched a lot of Texas Tech and feel
Wegman lit him up a little bit in that game. It wasn't close, but I think he had 300 yards in the game.
Well, so when you look at Texas Tech, outside of Sam Levitt, when Sam Levitt was the best quarterback that they played, right?
Yep, correct.
And that was a backup quarterback game for Texas Tech.
Yeah, it was a backup quarterback. And we can get into that, too. They've had quarterback issues all year. In fact, they've actually played four quarterbacks, and this is the first time that Morton has been healthy all year. So he says 100%, so maybe you'll see some more rollout stuff. They have really played a kind of a stationary pocket game. So it might be a wrinkle on offense that we haven't seen from Texas Tech, but they also don't have a backup, so maybe they don't want to run him around, because if he gets hurt, you know, they don't have anyone else. But when you look at the offenses that they've played, they're not great, right? When they played Utah, I think Utah is a pretty good team. Utah had a banged-up quarterback. He couldn't move around. But Utah also has a very good offensive line. I think Utah's offensive line is better than Oregon's offensive line, and that front seven absolutely overwhelmed them. BYU's fine. It's a decent team. I think in the Big Ten, that's more like a 7 or 8 win team. It's not an 11 or a 12 win team.
Right, right.
And they absolutely overwhelmed BYU in two games. BYU put together one drive against them.
Yeah.
So this front is real. I know that. In fact, when you watch Arizona State play, the only reason Arizona State won that game was big plays. When you look at every scoring drive that they have, there was a 20-yard explosion play on those drives. And most of those were actually 30 and 40-yard explosion plays. And if you watch those, Sam Levitt was getting hit in the chin as he let go of it. There wasn't one. If you go watch any of those explosive plays, it's not like Sam Levitt's back there throwing.
All day.
He is getting drilled, and he just happened to make a great throw.
Yeah.
And the back half of Texas Tech's defense, their secondary, it's good, it's not great. Right. It is an elite front seven, maybe the best front seven in college football. It is not an elite secondary. The question is, can anyone have that time? Because no one else got that time. That front seven can absolutely overwhelm you. And against Arizona State, they made four plays. The difference in that game was four plays and 0.2 seconds that Sam Levitt was able to get rid of the ball. Now, outside of Sam Levitt, did they play another elite quarterback? No. No, they didn't. So is it a fair question to ask, can someone that can move around Dante Moore, I actually think is better outside of the pocket than in the pocket, can he expose the back half of that Texas Tech defense? No one has been able to do it other than Sam Levitt. But this is by far the biggest test that Texas Tech will have, because that's fair. But I'm telling you, when you watch this, if BYU is playing in this game, I would say that that is a fair argument that BYU is a Big 12 team that's going up against a different built team. This is not a Big 12 defense. It's just not. This is a defense that is more built like a Big Ten SEC defense. So I do not think that you are going to see Oregon
steamroll them.
No, there is NFL, the front seven, because they play a traditional 4-3. They don't really go to nickel a lot. Five of these guys will be first or second day guys into the NFL.
Yeah.
Including, I think this is the best pair of edges together. No offense to Miami, who has really good ones. This is the best set of edges in college football. So this is a real test. This is a real test for both sides.
Well, I think the interesting part, too, that you pointed out is you got to find a way, I think, to have the balance offensively, right? Because that's the thing that I think a lot of those offenses in the Big 12 struggled to find. And even in the Big 12 title game, Bear Bachmeyer, I mean, what was it, first or second drive he got? He couldn't move at all.
He got hurt
and he was hobbling around.
It wouldn't have mattered, trust me.
Sure, it wouldn't. Sure, but I'm just, you know. I
BYU was not beating Texas Tech.
Not having the ability, I think, to come into the game and know that, all right, they're going to, like Utah, you know, they're going to run the football down your throat. And that's their MO. Right, we're going to put 8-9, you know, we can load up the box a little bit more if you need to, and having the ability to beat them over the top. But when you look at Texas Tech, Anthony, what stands out to you about the challenge that will face Oregon's offense tomorrow?
Well, I'll give them all the credit in the world because they are good. I mean, they remind me of my defense, or I should say my defense reminds me of them because they're older. These guys run to the ball as a team. We call it RP, relentless pursuit to the ball with speed. And you can't defend that. There's no play to defend speed, and you got 11 guys getting to the ball. That's how they play, and it's fun to watch. I mean, they have the best edge rusher in the league, in college football, David Bailey, who can get after the quarterback. He's gone. I mean, he's explosive. And Rodriguez, the middle linebacker, he's a quarterback who played quarterback. Okay, he played quarterback, and now he's playing middle linebacker. And when you have a guy like that who understands what the offense is doing and get his defense set, he's killing it. You know, I mean, that's why that team leads the nation in turnovers, the interceptions. They know where the ball is going.
He's about 10 of those, I feel like.
Exactly. So, but here's my thing. As a football player, that's a challenge you want. Everybody keeps talking about how good they are. But, yeah, you look at Oregon. They're good, too. You know, they have an offense that can do some things. If we go back and look at the schedule with Texas Tech, you know, you take the offensive guys for Oregon against all the other teams they went against, and there's no question that Oregon's talent is much better than anybody they played.
Right. Not even close.
Not even close. So this is going to be a challenge for them. So here's my thing when you go against a front seven. Okay, you got dudes up front that can control the line of scrimmage. You got linebackers that can run. My thing is this. What Ohio State did against Oregon last year, Oregon had a great front seven. Okay, they had some dudes to get after the ball. Ohio State came out, we're going to sling it. They threw the ball so quick down the field, long passes, short passes. The ball was out within 2 seconds. Next thing you know, all of a sudden, Oregon is down 14 points like that. They hit us quick. That's what Oregon has to do with Texas Tech. They have to hit them quick because I don't think Texas Tech has the offense to score with Oregon. They don't. They have an offense that they live on explosion plays, but Oregon's very good against explosion plays. They have an offense that a quarterback, he's stable. He's not going to run. He's the guy. He's going to sit in the pocket. He's going to throw the football. You know, he has some time. He's got a solid offensive line. They got a good running back with Dickey, a couple of good running backs. Mm-hmm. They're solid, but I don't think they have the offense like Oregon has. So Oregon, with this team, you got to jump all over them quick. The ball's got to be in the air. Take your receivers. Yeah, you have three good running backs. Oregon does, no doubt about it. But they got a front seven that's ready to stop that running game. All right? Well, we're not having a running game. We're throwing the ball. The ball is out, and so David Bailey can't get to the quarterback. The ball is out within 2 seconds. The ball is out. There's no time to get to the quarterback. Now we're getting him tired. He's rushing and getting to the quarterback, but the quarterback is standing there going, hey, I threw the ball already.
Yeah.
So that's what I see in this game. Oregon likes this challenge. They want a challenge of let's play a team that can get after us. Let's play a team like Ohio State, like last year, and we lost. We played terrible. Let's look for redemption. And we're not playing Ohio State. We get it. But we're playing against a good football team. I think they like the challenge.
It also feels like the kind of game offensively where you almost want to come out, and Oregon is known for their quick, short passing game. It's almost an extension of the run.
Yes.
Of making those guys go silently, just go sideline to sideline. Here you go. Here's Demaryius Moore. Here's Gary Bryant. Here, you go to that side. Okay, now we're going to go tempo. You come back. We'll go to the other sideline. Just make them run and see how they hold up in the second half.
And we'll see, because Texas Tech does – I've seen teams attempt to do this. Texas Tech does a really good job of rallying to the ball.
Yeah.
And they're all excellent tacklers. Their secondary guys, I think, are better in run support than they are in coverage. So, yes, side to side, but I truly feel that Oregon is not going to be able to nickel and dime this Texas Tech defense. I don't. You're going to have to get explosion plays. And whether that's breaking stuff in the run game, and we've seen some teams run some unbalanced look that has given them some problems.
Yeah.
Texas Tech doesn't do a lot of complex things. And so, they, like I said, they basically run a base 4-3 the entire time. They do not want to go into nickel. They only go into nickel basically when they're trying to rest guys. So can you find a matchup with your tight ends on their star linebacker, the lesser of the three linebackers? Right. Can you find matchups with your running back on their safeties and on their linebackers, things like that? But I think you're going to have to get, much like Arizona State, I think you're going to have to get chunk plays. I just don't know, because we've seen Oregon this year. And I really like Oregon's offense, but we've seen defenses grind them down.
Yeah, bog down a little bit.
17 points against Penn State, 18 against Iowa, and 21 against Wisconsin. If Oregon lives in the dink and dunk world, this is going to play into what Texas Tech wants to do. Dink and dunk, yes, if you're trying to tire them out. Dink and dunk, yes, to try to soften them up. But Oregon, their biggest advantage in this game is Dante Moore. You know, it's funny, I was mentioned earlier in the year, or earlier in my show when we were doing primetime, so much in the NFL we look at quarterback play, right? And why do we believe that the Kansas City Chiefs or the Baltimore Ravens or, you know, Buffalo Bills, right, why do we always believe in them? Because they have a quarterback. You have a guy in Baron Morton that's getting ready to play his last game. He's not an NFL guy. This will probably be the last competitive, real, meaningful football game that he plays. Oregon has the number one player, I believe, in the draft if he comes out. That has to be the advantage. Yep. Yep. You have to let Dante Moore take shots. So, yes, I'm all for playing conservative. I'm all for letting your defense play and saying that we're going to hold Texas Tech down. We don't want to make mistakes. But to me, trying to go 75 yards in 14 plays against this defense, I think you're playing into what they want to do. It's the number one turnover defense in the country. They strip, they sack, they tip balls. And Oregon has shown this year that you can drag them into deep water. The one team that's gotten over the top on Texas Tech, why? They took shots.
Yeah.
I think Oregon, especially with healthy receivers, they've got to take shots. You can choose them, set up, but it's got to be body bow, over the top.
Yeah. Sometimes when you think about dink and dunk, you forget that those are explosion plays.
Yeah.
Because what they are, they're bubble screens.
Yeah.
They're hitchers, they're tunnel screens.
Which
you're talking about, you're seeing a different type of talent within Oregon receivers than you've seen all season. So all of a sudden now you got to tackle in space. You got I've been watching a lot of receivers out there trying to block, and receivers don't like to block. Well, the Oregon receivers love to block, and you get Sadiq out there blocking as a tight end. He's going to try to pancake a linebacker or a safety. If you get the receivers in space, and now you got the tackle in space, and you got to keep doing it for maybe 12 plays, that's tough to do.
Yeah.
So that's the pressure that you put on them. Yes, it's dink and dunk. Yeah, you don't want to do it. But it's safe throws. Okay, it's sideline throws. Hey, get the ball out right now. Catch the ball and go. and let's see what you get. Sometimes when you have the athletes, let them do the work. It's not the play. It's not the scheme. It's not drop back and I'm seeing five different routes. I don't have time to see five different routes because I got a defensive edge rusher who's coming after me. I'm letting my dudes who are athletes do their thing.
Yeah.
Texas Tech does not play with the depth that Oregon does, too.
Yeah.
When you watch
In terms of numbers.
Yeah. They play a lot of base, and a lot of those guys play a lot of snaps. They don't do a lot of subbing like sometimes you see with Oregon's defense.
Yeah. The different animal and the strength of numbers that Lanning has talked about all year. I'm going to keep going on this a little bit because Oregon's offensive line is maybe the determining factor of this game to all the points of Dante having time to throw and that being the biggest advantage that they have. Their offensive line has to play well. Can Oregon run the ball on Texas Tech? Let's dive in a little bit of that as we continue to break it down. We're hanging out with you for another 2+ hours previewing the Orange Bowl and all the other college football playoff quarterfinal games back after this on the Fan Sports Network.
This is the Tullamore Dew Orange Bowl preview show on the Fan Sports Network. 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Orange Bowl preview show brought to you by Tullamore Dew, original Irish whiskey. We still got another 2 hours to go on this bad boy. Anitor Johnson, Suk, and Anthony Newman hanging out with you. A fun concoction of football personalities.
It's our first time.
This is it,
I don't know if I've ever really done anything with either one of you guys.
I used to produce back in the day, but not host with you. I don't think I've ever hosted with you.
This is my first time dipping my toes in, so I'll just start my apologies right now.
You're going to make your drive down to Eugene next year? You could be a part of the pregame show? Let's go, Suk. Come on. Go. Get your ass down there.
I'll just apologize. If I offend anyone or say anything inappropriately, I'll just say I'm
out there now, huh?
I want to get to Oregon's secondary at the top of the hour. So a couple minutes, and I want to get your thoughts on that, Anthony, because this is an offense at Texas Tech that's going to take a lot of shots. And so we'll get to that and what Oregon needs to do, because there was one game in particular we saw Oregon really struggle in that category this year. Not often. They don't give up a lot of explosive plays, but kind of what they learn. Last thing on Oregon's offense that I'm curious, and I want to ask the offensive lineman here to get your thoughts on it. Will Stein, I think, has been in his bag this year, where some of the numbers maybe haven't been what they were in the years previous, where you had a more experienced starting quarterback, maybe a better collection of wide receivers at times because they've been banged up in that position group, particularly all the way back to the offseason. But you go back and look at the way Oregon was able to run the ball, especially in places like Iowa, who was good in the front seven, and your down guys, and the creativity, and running duo, and just all the different looks that they have given you, and the versatile backs that they now have. Davidson could be a leading blocker, and D'Air Hill's an explosive guy, and Whittington can be physical. Of just Oregon's ability to run the football on this front seven, I think the over-under rushing prop for Oregon is 143-144, somewhere in that range. A lot of people like the over in that category. You're looking at the best run defense in the country, and I'm just curious your thoughts on Oregon's offense and their ability to run, because we talk a lot about this pass rush. That's one of the main reasons it's so successful, is nobody can run the ball on them. Yeah. And you're living in 3rd-and-9, and if you don't have to live in 3rd-and-9, maybe that nullifies the biggest strength for Texas Tech.
Absolutely, and then teams fall behind.
Yes.
And when you fall behind and you have to throw, you got to stay out of 3rd-and-long. You just have to.
Yeah.
And I'm not certain how Oregon wants to attack this. Oregon has not been shy about running the ball against anybody. Now, has it always been the most successful? No. It hasn't. Washington was able to muck them up a little bit. Indiana was able to muck them up. Northwestern was able to muck it up a little bit. It's a really good run game, but it's not, I don't think it looks at anybody and you're like, oh my God, they're just overwhelming.
Right.
But it's a nasty group, and they'll be committed to run. I don't know. I'm not in those coaches' meeting, but Anthony, kind of brought this up. I wonder how much of the quick passing game will be part of their run game.
Yes, indeed.
So, it's two-pronged.
Here's DeCorian Moore for 6 yards on a bubble screen.
Are they going to come out and run the ball? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
But if it's not working and you feel like you don't have the giant advantage, and I don't know. Again, no one has really been able to test Texas Tech. I think the idea that Oregon's going to somehow be a revelation, Utah's offensive line is better than Oregon's, and Utah didn't run the ball against them. Now, again, Utah couldn't throw the ball either. They had a beat-up quarterback. So I just don't think – I think a lot of people keep waiting for Texas Tech to get exposed.
It hasn't happened.
I don't think it will. Yeah. They're really good.
13 games into the year. If it hasn't happened now, it's not
going to
happen.
No, I don't think it's going to. I don't think Oregon's going to come out and run the ball for 200 yards.
Yeah.
But I think Will Stein is a very smart guy. I think he's very creative in the run game. I think you will see some of the overload stuff, which has given Texas Tech problems. I think that Texas Tech plays base. I think that's something that Oregon can expose with scheme.
Yep.
I think Oregon has two very willing tight end blockers. I think they have very willing battling wide receiver blockers. So I think you are going to see, with the extra time off, I think you are going to see some very creative run schemes involving scheme advantage, getting to the outside. I don't think you want to try to necessarily run between the tackles, and I think that quick pass game is going to be an extension of their run game.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't surprise me if Oregon came out and, again, body, body, body,
shot.
Make them tackle in space, see if you can get them a little tired down, and then, like I said, maybe take some shots over the top.
These guys are special, man. Davison and Hill, and I mean, that's just two freshmen playing in the biggest game of their career. I'll be curious to see how they handle that.
And
tomorrow,
they're going to be challenged by, again, a front seven. You're right. So they are so good.
It's the best tackling team that I've seen.
Yes.
Not that I've seen every tape.
Sure.
Because I don't break down Ohio State, but the Oregon opponents that I've looked at, where I've actually gone back and watched, this is the best tackling football team that I've seen this year.
Yeah. And here's my thing, you know, and I know this as a defensive guy. If I have a front seven that's just dangerous, you're not running against us. I don't care what you're going to do. You're not going to run against us. We're going to neutralize your running game. And so Oregon, at one point, they had all these receivers that got hurt, right? So they had to figure out, well, we have to run the football, but we got to throw the football. Well, hey, let's bring some more tight ends in the game. Now, that could be different for Texas Tech. Yeah. All of a sudden, now you're seeing two tight ends, three tight ends, 11 personnel, 12, 13 personnel. Yep. That changes the game. That changes the game far as, here's what you're going to do. Let's run the football. Okay, Texas Tech, they don't substitute anybody. Nope. They keep the same guys in there. So if I got 13 personnel, three tight ends in the game, and only one receiver, and I got corners on the edge, okay, I'm running towards those corners because I got some tight ends. They're going to block those corners because you didn't change. You didn't change out. And also, we can throw the ball. I can split out my tight ends and get a matchup situation on a linebacker. So I'm a Sadiq. Go beat the guy. Get him.
I would love to see some 12 personnel with Sadiq and Johnson.
Yes.
And like I said,
why not?
Their star linebacker that Texas Tech run is the lesser of their linebackers. Because it's Roberts Rodriguez, and then the other guy is, I think, Curry. Yeah. I always go by numbers. I'm that old lineman.
Yeah,
9, 11, and 5 are good players.
Number 6. Exactly. I think it's Curry, but don't kill me.
Yeah, I don't know Dave
either.
Know?
I'm like, I know numbers.
I know.
So 6.
Watch out for 52.
Yeah. Right, they're star backer, right?
Yeah.
I want to see Sadiq and Johnson are both big, heavy blockers, but they're also both weapons. I want to see, was it Wisniewski, their safety, again, number five, and I want to see 5 and 6.
Yeah.
I want to see five and six. Their star linebacker and their safety. I want to see them deal with Oregon's two tight ends.
Yeah. Yes,
because you are going to have to be rugged to set the edge in the physical in the run game. And I want to see Oregon take some seam shots down the middle. I'm not certain. If I want to say an advantage, I'm not certain that their star backer and their safeties are capable of hanging with Oregon's tight ends. I think that could be a massive advantage for Oregon. And I don't know if Texas Tech has seen two tight ends. Well, I know they haven't.
Yeah.
Two tight ends like what Oregon does.
Right.
These are two NFL
yes.
tight ends.
Yes.
I love the ability too. Like the versatility of what Oregon has offensively this year feels different than they've had in years past.
It's
like
what the Niners do. When they bring in George Kittle and Juszczyk, right?
And they're dominant blockers, so you gotta be ready for it.
And we're gonna run 12 personnel, but that 12 personnel can shift, and we can split out Kittle. We can split out Juszczyk. And it gives people fits.
Yes,
and
it does.
No offense to JMU, I think Oregon has spent some time looking at Texas Tech.
No,
and
they would never do that.
I think Will Stein is going to have some formations cooked up.
That's right.
A couple of the things that have given Texas Tech problems this year has been unbalanced looks. And I'm not talking like offensive lineman over, unbalanced where we'll run five guys to one side and we've got one tight end on the back or no tight ends and they'll flood a zone and it has given Texas Tech some problems.
Yeah.
I think Will Stein is going to go deep into his bag early in this game and you're going to see some stuff that you're like, oh,
how about that?
And make Texas Tech adjust to it on the fly.
Yep.
Let's get to the other side of the ball because this is a Texas Tech offense that lives basically off of one thing. Well, two things. Their defense forcing turnovers and taking shots down the field. How does Oregon defend those? I'm going to start diving into that. We'll get Anthony's thoughts on this game for Oregon's young secondary and how they handle those. Two more hours to go. We're having fun. Little Orange Bowl preview, college football playoff quarterfinal preview live on the Fan Sports Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.